Good morning. The question that causes the most anxiety in your pastor is not world peace. I think I can figure that one out. It's not teaching you how to flirt. I can teach you how to flirt. It is not how do I save my marriage? We can work on that. It's not what do I do with my teenagers? It is this question. I have a hard time reading the Bible and understanding it. Where do I start reading? And the reason why this question is so important to me is because it's so important to your spiritual life. It's so important to the foundation of your life. And every other problem you have in your life is actually answered through the scriptures. It's understanding what God has to say and being able to apply it to your life. Your spirit needs nutrition. It needs food and water just like your body does. You know that if you don't eat or if all you eat is ice cream and cake, it's only a matter of time before you got some serious spiritual problems in your life. And so we started our year by talking about the Bible and how important the Bible was. And a lot of us started daily reading plans, and we said, we're going to check up on this throughout the year. And so that's what we're back doing today as we work on these habits. We also today, I'm going to introduce you to Paul and Weda. It's a couple that I've fallen in love with, and I want you to fall in love with them too. And so I'm going to just get this series started, and then we're going to get going with Paul and Weda. Big idea. Change isn't easy, but it isn't impossible either. Big changes don't have to be big undertakings. Many times, it's the small commitments that add up to the big results when those commitments become habits of God's kingdom. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 4, and in this passage, Jesus is being tested or tempted. He's gone into the wilderness, and he's been there for 40 days. Let's pick it up. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. So he has a problem. He has a physical problem. He's hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, or since you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. So the tempter comes to him and tells him who he is. You are the Son of God. Therefore, just solve the problem. Turn it into bread. Now, many times in our lives we say, well, I'm not Jesus. Let's see what Jesus has to say. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. Now, if I am hungry, what do I believe the answer to my problems are? All of the problems in my life are bread. You can come and talk to me about whatever you want to talk to me about, but until I get something to eat, I'm not really interested in what you have to say. I think the answer is bread. Jesus said, that's not true. It's not true. That physical problem that you have, satisfying the physical problem you have, will not produce the life you want. But on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's where real life comes from. Now, you face this on a pretty much daily basis. You and your life are either in the survive mode. If you're in the survive mode, you're just making it day to day. Financially, you're just making it day to day. You didn't lose your house or your apartment. You didn't get evicted and you had enough to eat. You're surviving. I'm making it day to day. Others of you are thriving. And so you're past that stage. You're at the thrive stage. You're now watching all kinds of YouTubes about how you can be super successful, right? So you're thriving and away you go, and you are. But that creates all kinds of opportunities, right? All kinds of opportunities, all kinds of problems, and you're facing them on a day-to-day basis. Some of you are at the wealthy stage, where what you're trying to do is create wealth that you can pass on to the next generation and move on from there. That also creates all kinds of opportunities and some problems as well. And every day, and with every problem, with every one of those pieces, you have desires, you have wants, you have needs, you have troubles, you have goals, you have purposes, you have a mission. You have all of those pieces of the table, and there's a couple of voices that come to you. If you're on the survive stage, although this voice can show up at any one of these stages, there's a voice that comes to you and says, hey, this is who you are. You can never do that. This is who you are. You can never do that. This is who you are. You can never have that. This is who you are. Therefore, don't try that. There's lots of us that hear the other voice. That voice, same voice, different message, comes to you and says, hey, this is who you are. You can solve that problem. Go do it. Oh, you're wise enough. You're smart enough. You've got what it takes. Solve that problem. Almost every one of us who started off with a marriage that was we were in love that ended up in a broken marriage, you heard that voice many, many times. And you said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And you actually destroyed your marriage with your great wisdom, living by your feelings, living by your desires, living by your own wisdom. Why is God's word so important? Because it takes your time and your money and your words and your energy and your body and your career, all these things, all these resources you have available to you, and it says, okay, I need to find out what God says first. I need to get my life from God and use my time and my money and my words and my energy and my body and my career, my authority, my responsibilities, my decision making. I need to use that from God's way. What God says about it, how to do that. You can only do that from your spirit. You cannot do that from your flesh, your own wisdom, your own thinking. If you starve the Spirit on a day-to-day basis, the tempter will come to you and say, you got a problem. Either you can't fix it or, fix it without God. Now, why is this such a big deal to me? It's a big deal to me because I want you to experience joy and peace and power. Did you know that joy can only be experienced in the Spirit? Did you know that peace is only experienced in your spirit? That's why you can move from I'm just striving to I'm just thriving, to I'm wealthy and still be miserable. Why? Because you're not getting life from the Word of God. You're not being fed from the Word of God. So, as we head into this series, our goal is to come back to that habit and spend time with God each day. So we have come up with a little resource for the next 21 days, starting tomorrow. We want to read through the book of John. And so we have it. It's on an app. All you got to do is go to our app and look up on the resource page. There's a link there. If you're like, I don't know how to do all that app stuff, go to the concierge. Take care of them. You'll be all set. They love, love, love taking care of you, and they will take care of you. If you're already on a reading plan, keep rolling, right? Keep rolling. If you're on your really yearly one, keep rolling. If not, join us on this 21-day. And we've made little one-minute devotionals. So little one-minute devotionals will show up all over your social media where we give you a little commentary on each of those chapters for that particular day. That gets us started, which means I get to what I really wanted to have happen today, which is I want you to meet Paul and Weda. Before they come out, they minister in Albania, which if I ask you, I'm going to bet half of you have no idea where Albania is. Albania was a communist country. It's the only country in the world that ever declared themselves atheists, that you could have no other religion than atheism. They were North Korea before 1991. Unbelievable lockdown of that country.
We are an extension of God's work in Albania and what God has been doing in Albania for so many years now. Me and my wife, Weda, we both came to know Christ by 2010. I came to know Christ in 2010, and Weda came to know Christ in 2013. Both, we come from different backgrounds. I come from a Catholic background, and Weda comes from a Muslim background. And we both had to go through a lot when we first got in contact with the gospel. First, we had a lot of questions for ourselves to try to understand what that means to us, and how can we have that personal relationship with Jesus, because both of us were taught differently when we were, especially when I was in the Catholic Church. I never heard the opportunity to have or to understand what a personal relationship with Jesus means. And that's when I get to know and to hear about this opportunity so I can have a personal relationship with Jesus. And the other thing that I learned about that I didn't before was a verse from the Bible in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 that says, by grace through faith. And it was always, I was thinking, you know, I had to be good and I had to do this and that, and never worked for me. And when I learned that, that was the moment when I really thought, this is what I need. And for my wife as well, she had to go through a lot because she had to, she thought Allah is not her God, it's her God, it's not Jesus. And when she heard about this personal relationship with Jesus, that Jesus is God, she had to tell them, no, Jesus is not God, so I'll go read the Bible and prove you wrong. And so by reading the Bible, she actually got caught up and accepted God as Lord and Savior of her life. And as well, both of us, when her parents understood that we are in a relationship, when we fell in love, they said, you guys can't be together because he's Christian, you are Muslim. So they pushed us really hard. And so we had to go for 3 years trying to respect them and just so they can accept this relationship, not to force them to accept it or to... I didn't want for Weda, and Weda didn't want for herself to have this broken relationship with her family. And so we came to the point that we said, we want to wait and respect them and pray that God will change their hearts and their minds. And 3 years after, they came to the point that they said, well, when we were about to give up, kind of trying to say, well, God, we're done now, we'll just move on with our lives. And they said, well, now you can get engaged. That was God moving things. And that's how God moved in our lives when we decided to join Crew full-time. Campus Crusade, maybe for some of you, we saw this deep spiritual gap in our country that people don't know Jesus. There is only 1% in Albania who knows Jesus. And we decided to ask God, what does he want to do with our lives? And we came to the point that we saw this, you know, this verse that says the harvest is plenty and the workers are few. That was the verse that really pushed us to think, what do we want to do with our lives? And if God wants to use us, this is the best place, and this is the best time because people are open to the gospel. And we both decided to come on staff full-time and do ministry. And you probably saw that video about Albania, how closed it was, and how people were open in the beginning. But guess what? In 91, there were only 16 known believers in the country, not more than that. Can you imagine 16 people? Probably in this room there's more than 50 or 70 people, but there were only 16 known believers around the country. And then when the first missionaries, Don Mansfield, with some other people came, they first came and shared the gospel with a lot of Albanians. I didn't mention this fact earlier, that Albania actually was mentioned in the Bible. Did you know that? Nope. Because its name is Illyricum. So its ancient name is Illyricum. It's not really Albania. So it changed during the years. And so the gospel was preached there very early. And so now it's our country is so open. People, young people especially, all are looking for Jesus, just like those beach boys. They are looking for Jesus. They want to know Jesus. And they are hungry and thirsty, especially young people now with all these worldviews that are coming into their lives through social media, through internet, and all these things. They are looking for Jesus. And we've been doing a lot of activities with our team just by, you know, doing outreaches and personal conversations, evangelism in personal conversations, one-on-one, summer camps, and other things during the year. We try to help them in three aspects: academic, social, and spiritual. And so we try to fit into these so we can reach them with the gospel. But as well, we build in their lives. We try to help them grow, understand better, you know, the grace of God and how they can walk a life with Jesus, but as well, how they can make disciples. So we do a lot of trainings, and our vision actually is that everyone knows someone who truly follows Jesus. And that's what we're trying to do in Albania, trying to reach everybody through our students. And we've been sending people, sending some of our students into our neighbor countries. They would go for a week to share gospel with some of the Muslim countries. Like, we are surrounded by some Muslim countries, like Bosnia, Kosovo, Turkey, and it's easier for us to go. And Albania is like a stepping stone into the Muslim world. It's really easy for us to go there. And we've been sending teams for short-term sending, but as well in the city, in other cities in the country, doing summer camps for 1 week, and then throughout the year we would go and invite students to come to the camping area that we have, so we can have deep personal conversations with them, so we can really share gospel in a meaningful way with them throughout that weekend or a week. So these are some of the activities. We call it Summer Shine. We go around 20 cities, and we're trying to develop other partnerships with the local church so we can reach youth more. And we would like to invite you all to join us, to maybe come physically in one of in a short mission trip, but as well to pray for us as we continue this on. Thank you.
I'd like to pray for you guys, but also pray for Paul and Weda. So I got to know them. Actually, our church was sending a missions team to Albania. It was supposed to happen like last July, but because of my heart surgery, we had to cancel it. And so I'd like you to begin to pray about how do we send a team again? How do we be able to go out there, be able to go over there and be a part of what they're doing and moving forward? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Paul. I thank you for Weda. I thank you that you pursued them, you revealed yourself to them, and they came to know you the exact same way each of us come to know you, by faith, through grace. And Lord, I want to thank you that they would come and share with us and share their hearts with us. And I pray, Lord, how can we get involved in Albania? What do you want us to do, and how can we do it that would be the most supportive, that would allow us to be a part of this amazing story that you're working in Albania? I want to pray for our people. I want to pray for our church that as we grab a hold of this habit of just spending time with you each day, that just like Jesus said, we don't live off everything that's physical. We live off your word. We live off of the truth and joy and peace that only you can give. In your name we pray. Amen.